Hear now the word of God found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. Luke, chapter 14, beginning at verse number 15. Luke 14, verse 15. The subject is partying with Jesus. Partying with Jesus. Luke 14, 15. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, "What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. And when the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, 'Come, the banquet is ready.' But they all began to make excuses. One said, 'I have just bought a field and must go inspect it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me.' Another said, I now have a wife, so I can't come." The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." After the servant had done this, he reported, "There is still room for more." So the master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come, so that the house will be full. But none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet." Amen. Partying with Jesus. I have come to learn that the Bible really is more about a feast than it is about a fast. The Bible really is more about grace than it is guilt. Very often we want to make religion boring. We want to make religion about what we can't do rather than what we can do. Some of you will remember a few years ago I was invited to do a wedding for Star Jones at St. Bartholomew Church in New York City, which is right next door to the Waldorf Astoria. Barbara and I spent a whole lot of money getting ready to go to the famous wedding. We showed up in a limo. Felix had a limo all polished and shiny, picked us up. I think Barbara bought a special gown. I got my hair, I got my hands and my feet done. Showed up at the wedding at St. Bartholomew Church. I mean, I thought we were looking the best we could under the circumstances. And people were standing, outside, you know, waiting for the rich and the famous to come. And so we pulled up in a limo. We got out, and it's sort of like, oh, they ain't nobody. I wanted to say, I am somebody. This is God's house, and because I'm invited, it means I am somebody. And I want you to know the red carpet is out for you because you are somebody. And those who go around, who talk about mine, I don't talk about, we are the silk stocking church, talking about we are the bourgeoisie church. No, no, no. We are the church of Christ. And everybody who comes in here, we are somebody. And the red carpet is extended for you, whether you have a job or no job, educated or no education. This is God's house. I stepped out of that limo, Barbara on my side. We walk in. I think I had a little swagger. Because I decided I would not be defined by the crowd standing on the street corner looking for the rich and the famous. God made me all right. So, you know, I had my robe on my sleeve. So go in the back. It's three of us. Dr. Bernard from Brooklyn over there, he was one of them. And with three pastors and another pastor from down in Texas. I can't think of his name right now. So we all standing up there. We all had a part in the wedding. And the same folk, first of all, a lot of those folk outside couldn't even get in. And they're going to decide who I am. At least I had an invitation. And some of the same folk who was watching me come in, thinking I'm a nobody, as soon as I put my robe on, I became somebody. Look at somebody and say, I am more than what I do. Don't define me just because of my job or my calling. Define me because whose child I am, and I'm God's child, and God made me somebody. So now we go, and I do whatever my little thing is at the wedding, and we got parts and whatever it is. And then we invited to the reception. My God. The flowers cost more than my salary for 3 years. And as long as I had the robe on, I was somebody. But here I am, I don't know no movie star. And Barbara tell me, well, that's so-and-so. I said, really? Don't nobody say a word to me. I'm a little insignificant nobody. We sit down to dinner. The only people talk to us is me and Barbara to each other. And the waitress, I guess, asked us, what will you have, fish or chicken? God help us. If we become a church with a Waldorf Astoria mentality for the rich and the famous, movie stars and singers from California and those, because nobody will talk to you. When Jesus throws a party, he throws a party for whosoever will. He wants you to talk to the person next to you. He wants you to understand that he's made ready for you at this party. He wants you to understand that you're going to get your life back at this party. He wants you to know that you're not going to be the same once you leave this party. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to be able to lift up your bowed down head and say, I know the Lord will make a way somewhere. You're going to be able to move. Text talks about a man having a party. I don't know if you've ever showed up at a party or showed up at an engagement and you standing in a long line and you waiting and you get up to the line and you find out your name is not on the list. You got on, you know, you done taken a day off from work, rented a tuxedo, and dug out one of those dresses that you haven't been able to get it in for a while. Made your way to the party. And you know, sometimes I'm famous for this. You know, sometimes I'm famous for this because somebody will send me an invitation and then I will forget to send the RSVP. And then I show up at the wedding. This happened not too long ago. And Barbara is standing there like, fool, didn't you respond? I said, well, then I started blaming the office. Well, I don't know, honey. I think maybe I... And then they got to, because they got to scramble to make room. And usually that's because, you know, they have invited me. But there's some parties, you know, that you show up to. Remember that couple decided they're going to go to the White House unannounced? But there's some parties that you're in the line and you get up there and you find out that you know that you were invited, but you didn't RSVP. And they're looking for your name and they can't find your name. It's embarrassing. But look at your neighbor and say, I'm invited in here. I got as much right to be here as you do. Fact of the matter is, I'm so messed up, I go to the top of the list. You think that you all that in a bag of chips, but I've been down and out. I've been about ready to blow my brains out, and I just couldn't wait to get in here. I needed a song. I needed a prayer. I needed a word. I needed somebody to encourage me. I needed to know that the Lord is a healer. I needed to know that the Lord will make a way. I got to get here. My salvation. So, since I made it here, I decided I wasn't going to be a wallflower. I decided I was going to praise him anyhow. I decided I was going to shout until my joy came back. I feel miserable, but I decided I'm going to give him a testimony. So, this text talks about... Now, the other thing is... Have you ever missed a good party? Somebody sent you invitations. You didn't go. In fact, let me break it down to you brothers. Since I'm one of y'all. Somebody sent you an invitation. You didn't go. And you found out after the fact that who you've been looking for was there. And she was looking. And she even asked. Jesus throws this party and he prepares everything. And he says, come to my party. I'm waiting for you. And these guys says, they make excuses. It's right here in the text. Look at somebody and say, he ain't making this up. It's right there. He invites them to the party. And one person says, please excuse me. I bought some property that I got to go and see it. Now, how many of you know that's a lie? How many of you going to buy some property before you see it? Ain't nobody gonna buy it. Everybody know that you just making an excuse. Look at somebody say, God will accept a reason, but keep your excuses. Second. So that's one guy. One guy says, I just got married. There ain't nothing wrong with spending some time with your honeymoon bride. But how many of you know your wife or your spouse is not your God? Amen? Amen? In fact, most of the time, When things go wrong, you're going to be calling on your God. So, in church, we get this attitude that somebody was telling me the other day about this wine tasting and dinner, whatever we had over here. People are something, you know. They just sometimes get on my last nerve. Somebody in the world said, you know, they saw the poster. They said, you know, they saw the poster about the wine tasting or whatever. They said, oh, y'all serving wine now. I wanted to tell them, we've been serving wine. Jesus organized it. He said we serve bread and wine every month. You know, I don't know why it is, you know, that black people in particular we act like we're so religious. And I've been around long enough to see many of y'all do a little tasting. And what I found out, I don't know why it is. Some of us can't really have a party until I have some food and wine. We finally got Family Life Center up over there. And then people start saying, well, it's nice, but they won't let us have wine. I don't know why Jesus said, you know, this cup represents my blood. But he did. I don't know why Jesus goes to a party one day and the wine runs out. And his mother comes to him saying, Jesus, you gotta fix this. And Jesus turns the water, not into Kool-Aid, not into fruit punch, not into iced tea, not even into Ripple. He changes it to the best wine. The other day, they standing in line, the thing over here the other day, and they started asking me, well, what kind of wine do you want? I don't know. Give me some red. Then they started asking, well, do you know Merlot or Chardonnay or whatever? Chardonnay. You know, I'm not a wine drinker. I don't know. I just give me some red. I see some of y'all know your wine. When Jesus invites you to a party, Jesus is not just inviting you to a party for your wine. He's not just inviting you for a party for you to get high. He's inviting you to a party to get your needs met. When you come through that door, you come into that door, you're looking for a word that will lift up a bowed down head. You're looking for a word that will say to you, I got a feeling everything is going to be all right. When you come through that door, you're looking to be affirmed. So when Jesus invites these guys to the party, and that's what we're doing. I hope to God that over this month that you will invite, just keep on inviting people to the party. I hope you just keep on, and then if they don't come, I hope the word will get out. You should have been. Oh, Jackson, that day, I don't know what got into him, but that day, he was on fire. That day, It took Miss Cisco to get him dancing. On that day, Miss Cisco took no for an answer. She just came to the pulpit and waited. Because somebody, you know, sometimes we say these things, ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. Most of the time, let's just talk. But it is true. And a party with Jesus is not about running and jumping and hollering and screaming. It's about connecting. It's about connecting with the Spirit. It's about I wanted to find this. It's about the invitation to the Feast of Grace. I read this little thing here, you know. Last week I tried to use my little iPad. Tried to show off last week. Got up here and the battery went dead. This week I charged it. I got 79% energy right now. But in life, every now and then, your battery go dead and you need to make your way into the house of God so that you can be recharged. Preach, Jackson. And today I came ready. Terrible. I always had this fear showing up with this electronic gizmo. And before I got started, I'm reading the scripture and the battery goes dead. The feast. God, worship ought to be a feast. Communion ought to be a feast. On the table, at Communion Sunday, there ought to be some joy. There ought to be some forgiveness. There ought to be some grace. There ought to be something to help us to know that I'm okay no matter what the world says. On the communion table, there's a feast. We had this little thing over here the other day. The wine tasting. So I got here late. So I go to the first table I go to. They had grits and shrimp. With a little old fork. I said to the person, I said, you know, the stuff is good, but the fork is small. The woman said, Reverend, it's a tasting. Look at somebody and say, I'm so messed up on the inside, a taste won't do. I need the whole thing. I need the grace to be shoveled in. I don't even need a fork. I need a shovel. What is grace? Grace, this is why we come to church, really. Grace is saying that I got from God better than I deserve. Anybody in here can have that testimony? That if justice had been done, I'd have been out of here. I mean, I know I look like I got it all together. But the fact of the matter is, this table is the table of grace. Whosoever will, let him come. Let her come. My time is up. I got something. I'm going to see if I can find this here. Let me just give you this little quote. In terms of why people come to church, you know, sometimes I like this. Institute of American Church Growth asked 10,000 people why they came to church the first time. Here's what they said. 10,000 people, they did a survey. 2% said they had a special need. 3% said they just walked in, saw a nice sign out there and just walked in. 6% said, you know, I really like that pastor, you know, he's all right. 13% because they said I came because of the programs interested me. 76% said they came because friends and relatives invited them. Who have you invited lately? Have you ever invited anybody? I know when you get ready to go to the movies, you invite somebody. For God's sake, women, when you go to the bathroom, you invite somebody. Come on, just go with me. Let's go to the bathroom. Well, for God's sake, if you get invited to go to the bathroom, when
Surely you can invite him to come to church.
Amen, Jackson. Here it is. One of the values, and maybe not values, of having one of these iPads, you get too many notes. So you can't cover everything, so I'm going to rush right to the end. I'm going to have communion. Here it is. I read this. I like this. This guy says, I shook my head in disbelief. This couldn't be the right place. After all, I couldn't possibly be welcome here. I had been given an invitation several times by several different people. I had finally decided to see what this place was all about. But this just couldn't be the right place. Quickly, I glanced down at the invitation and I clutched my hand. I scanned past the word, come as you are, no jacket required. And found the location. Yes, I was at the right place. I peered through the window and again saw a room of people whose faces seemed to glow with joy. All were neatly dressed, I like Mount Olive, adorned in fine garments and appeared strangely clean as they dined at an exquisite table. Ashamed, I looked down at my own tattered and torn clothing covered in stains. I was dirty. In fact, I was filthy. A foul smell seemed to consume me, and I couldn't shake the grim that clung to my body. As I turned around to leave, the words from the invitation seemed to leap out at me. Come as you are. No jacket required. I decided to give it a shot. Mustering up every bit of courage I could find, I opened the door to this restaurant and walked up to the man standing behind the podium. He said, your name, sir. Without looking up, I mumbled, James Merritt. I thrust my hands deep into my pockets, hoping to conceal the stains. He didn't seem to notice the filth I was covered in, or as he scanned down the list of names and said, yes, there he is, James Merritt. He said, you're James Merritt? Well, I couldn't believe what I heard. A grin broke out on my face and said, yes, of course. He led me to a table, and surely enough, there was a place card with my name written on it in deep, dark red stain. And as I browsed over the menu, I saw so many delightful items listed. There were things like peace and joy and love and blessings and confidence and assurance and hope and faith and mercy. Realized that this was no ordinary restaurant. I flipped the menu back to the front in order to see where I was, and the name of the restaurant was called God's Grace. And the waiter returned and said, may I recommend the special of the day? With a special, you are entitled to heaping portions of everything on the menu. I thought to myself, you got to be kidding. You mean I can have all of this? Well, what is the special of the day, I asked. I couldn't hardly contain the excitement in my voice. He said, salvation. I yelled out, I'll take it. Then quickly, as I made that statement, the joy I felt in my body. A sick, painful ache jerked through my stomach and tears filled my eyes. Between my sobs, I said, Master, look at me. I'm dirty and nasty, unclean and unworthy of these things. I would love to have all of this, but I just can't afford it. The man smiled. The man smiled and he said, "Sir, your check has already been taken care of by the gentleman over there." And he poured it to a man in the front row. And I said, "Who is that?" He said, "His name is Jesus." Turning, I saw a man whose very presence seems to light up the room. He was almost to look at. I found myself walking towards him and shaking in my voice. I said, "Sir, I'll wash dishes and sweep the floor and take out the trash. I'll do anything I can do to repay you for all of this." He opened his arms and said with a smile, "Son, all of this is yours if you will just come unto me. If you'll ask me to clean you up, I will. If you'll ask me to allow you to feast at my table, you can sit and eat. Remember, the table is reserved in your name, and all you have to do is accept the gift that I offer to you." Astonished, I fell at his feet and said, "Please, Lord Jesus, please clean up my life. Please change me and sit me at your table and give me this new life." Immediately, I heard him say this, "It is finished." I looked down and a white robe adorned my body. Something strange and wonderful had happened. I felt new, like a weight had been lifted, and I found myself seated at his table. The special of the day had been served. The Lord said to me, "Salvation is yours." We sat and talked for a great while, and so I enjoyed the time that I spent with him. He told me of all people he would like for me to come back so often as I liked for another helping of God's grace. He made it clear that he wanted me to spend as much time with him as possible. And as he drew near time for me to go back outside into the real world, he whispered to me softly and said, "Lo, I am with you always." Then he said something to me that I will never forget. He said, "Son, do you see these empty tables?" I said, "Yes, Lord, I see them." "What do they mean?" He said, "These are reserved tables, but the individuals whose names are on these place cards have not accepted the invitation yet. Would you be so kind as to hand out these invitations to those who have not joined us yet?" I said, "Absolutely, I'll be glad to." He said, "Go therefore into all the world." And as I walked out of that restaurant, I thought about how I walked in. I walked into the restaurant called God's Grace, dirty and hungry, stained with sin, my righteousness as filthy rags. Then Jesus cleaned me up. I walked out a brand new man, robed in white with his righteousness. So I'll keep my promise to my Lord. I will go. I will spread the word. I will share the gospel. I will hand out invitations. In fact, I'm going to start with you. Have you been to God's Grace? There's a table reserved in your name. And here's your invitation. Come just as you are. No jacket required. RSVP, the invitation is yours. I invite you to come.